Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Doing some reading on the commercial break, and I came across an Oregon Live story about a 90-pound squid that washed up on the Oregon beach. Rare squid, 90-pound squid. I don't want to see a 90-pound squid up close, but everybody's very excited about this squid. The aquarium manager got the squid, and they are doing a dissection of the squid. I don't want to see that. If I see a 90-pound squid, I'm running the other way. Dennis Dodd, CBS national college football writer and friend of the show, joining us now. How are you, man?
John, I'm great. I've never followed a squid before, but I'll take it.
Take it. Where are you today? You're all over the country all the time. Where are you calling us from?
I'm at home. I'm at home in Kansas.
Now, let's go back to Pac-12 Media Day, because you got to see all of the media days and you get a chance to bounce in and out of places. How was the Pac-12 the same or different than some of the other media days you saw?
Well, if the SEC is too long, and it is at 4 days, the Pac-12 is really too short. They've tried to shoehorn in 12 in a league that needs all the national exposure it can. They tried to tell their story in one day, and I don't get it. I don't know why they don't do 2 days, because it would help them. It'd be 2 days of headlines. It would be another day where they could be alone in the headlines. So I don't get it.
I also struggle with that and the TV revenue. I was looking at the revenue today. The Pac-12 will get about $11 million a year less per university than the SEC schools. That's tough to do over the next 6 years. You're giving away, $65, $66 million in deficit versus some of the competition. We're going to see Auburn and Washington in the opener. A lot at stake for the Pac-12. I'm uneasy about if Washington loses the game that the Pac-12's out.
Yeah, I think that concern is valid. I think that's the Pac-12 game of the year. There will be conference games that maybe will be bigger. USC Texas is big, but certainly not two teams ranked in the top 10. And as you mentioned, the Pac-12's playoff life may be at stake. Forget Washington. If Washington is the best team in the league, and I think it is, if they don't at least show well, then that may be it. You lose to Auburn, and that's the highest ranked team maybe that Washington will play. You're giving the selection committee every excuse to leave you out, and you absolutely cannot lose another game the rest of the year and hope to be in the playoff, because a two-loss team has never been in the playoff.
Dennis Dodd, CBS national college football writer, with us. The Chip Kelly story is going to be one, I think, until he gets it going. He has 8 seniors. How long do you think it'll take UCLA to be a threat?
That's a great question, because we've never, in the modern age, we haven't really been here with UCLA to answer that question. The last time they were any good at all was 98, when they came within a game of going to the first BCS title game. They to this point, they haven't been known for spending a lot of money or really caring to spend a lot of money, frankly, but they went there with Chip. They got the new football facility, 2 great new practice fields. They seem like they're all in competing with USC and the Pac-12. How long it's going to take them? I know this is a transitional year. I think they'd be lucky to get to a bowl after going 4-8 last year and with no difference-making quarterback on the roster. I think it's going to take a while, but I don't think will he go 46-7 in 4 years that he did at Oregon? No, I don't think so, but I think he can get them there where they can compete in the South and possibly win a Pac-12 title.
Urban Meyer and Ohio State dominating the national headlines. What's going to happen to Urban Meyer? Is he coaching this team this season?
Yeah, that's a great question. Anything I can say would be almost pure conjecture, though.
Yeah.
the people to tell you they know. This could change in another 24 hours. I think right now the door is open. It looks like for him to be only suspended. You know, when they put a shot clock on the investigation, you know, it's going to be done in 2 weeks. Well, why? You know, why 2 weeks? Well, one answer is there's a football season coming up, September 1st. They want it, as I thought from the beginning, they want this resolved by then. I think there's reasons on both sides to keep him. There's reasons to fire him. When you go around at Big Ten Media Days and lie 9 times that you didn't know anything about the Zach Smith situation in 2015, that's heinous. You know, and then there's the excuse that, well, you can't get fired for lying to the media. Well, newsflash, there weren't padlocks on those doors in the ballroom where he spoke. That was on the Big Ten Network. That was to his employers. That was to his fans. That was to the victim. So he did lie. And then he goes off the reservation, you know, under investigation and, you know, suspended basically on administrative paid leave. I don't know if you and I, John, could get away with that if we were on leave and being investigated to go off the reservation and speak out on our own. It's borderline insubordination. So it's going to be interesting to see.
How different are they without him?
If they get rid of him,
yeah.
I think we've seen plenty of examples that Ohio State will go on being Ohio State. You know, USC is, you know, it took them a while, but they're back competing. Penn State, Ohio State under Jim Tressel. I think Ohio State in many ways sustains itself. If he leaves, they'll get a good coach. You know, they'll get a great coach, and they'll just keep recruiting great players and winning games. It really speaks to, in one sense, why Michigan hasn't been able to get it back. Ohio State, after that one downturn in 12, under Luke Fickell, has gone 73-8. Under Urban Meyer, so I think they'll be fine, frankly.
Is there an incentive then to, if you're Ohio State, to say, hey, look, the institution's bigger than any one person? Because that's where I'd be inclined to go if I were on the Board of Trustees.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's why there's a reason they changed. The original composition of the so-called independent board was regents. Well, regents are appointed by the governor, and their first loyalty for example, could be to the university. Certainly there's a conflict of interest there. So they've populated it now with former attorneys general. There's a person from the former Securities and Exchange Commission, more objective people to vet this thing. And I think they will come up with a fair resolution. But, yeah, you're right. The worship at the altar of the winning percentage is probably the way to go here, because it usually is. Now, this is a school that has already fired two coaches for misconduct, Woody Hayes for punching a linebacker and Jim Tressel for lying to the NCAA. So there is some precedent.
We're talking to Dennis Dodd, CBS National College football writer. He covers it all. 4-team playoff in college football. We've got 5 power conferences. We've got schools like Boise State historically that have always been nervous about being left out. How long till that gets fixed?
Tell me what fixed is. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. I think that the gap between the haves and the have-nots, and I'm talking about Group of 5 and Power 5, has never been bigger, and it grows by the day financially, athletically, perception-wise, recruiting, the ability to keep and sign quality coaches and facilities. All that adds up when you're trying to compete. To the point that, just like in the BCS, even though the field is double, it's virtually impossible for one of those schools to get through to the playoff. And when I say impossible, it would have to, the conversation would start, John, with a team like Central Florida last year going 13-0, beating 2 Power 5 opponents in their non-con, which I don't think they had on their schedule, and then 3 of the 5 Power 5 champions probably losing at least twice. That's hard to do to begin with, and I just said that was the beginning of the conversation. I didn't say that would get UCF in.
Dennis, I saw the images outside Ohio Stadium Monday evening. You had a couple hundred Ohio State fans there, and I was really disturbed by it, and I thought, gosh, do they not get it? But then I started thinking about the attendance of that stadium, 104,000, and I thought, well, maybe I should be encouraged that only a couple hundred people showed up.
That was my take, that, you know, there was the obvious attention given to those yahoos out there, you know, with the Me Too sign supporting Urban Meyer. And I thought to myself, wow, only 200? It was really, I saw reports it was really only 100.
Yeah.
And it was a bad, bad look because Stacy Elliott, Ezekiel Elliott's father showed up, and his son, Ezekiel, we know, got accused of abusing women. So that's a bad look. Where was the rally for Courtney Smith? You know, where was the rally for against domestic violence? You didn't see that. And look, Columbus isn't different than a lot of college towns. They love them some football, and that's what's going to happen. But I was heartened, actually, that it was only 100. There were some diehards out there. I don't think they spoke for a lot of people.
The guy who was leading it started crying, and I thought, you saw the Me Too signs, and I thought to myself, well, you know what? That's one place I would never be.
No, I wouldn't either.
When we look at cases like this, and I'm not equating Baylor and Penn State with Ohio State, but I think that we can sit around and have a discussion about it, about where the congruency is. I am always disappointed with those fan bases. You deal with it as you move from story to story and scandal to scandal. Are all fan bases the same, or do you find places that are a little more unhinged?
When they get to this point and they have a coach winning at such a high level, like Penn State, like Baylor, like Ohio State, it's about the same. And some not that are winning at that level. They just want to protect their team. But there is a comparison with Baylor and Penn State. Certainly not with what Jerry Sandusky did or what happened to those women at Baylor. At the end of the day, you had to ask the people in power at all three of those places, what did they know and when did they know it? You know, Art Briles says he is innocent. The regents decided otherwise. And it comes down in all three cases. Even if you didn't know, you should have known. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Urban Meyer, a man who basically invented the modern spread offense. I was back with him in 2004 in Utah when all this was coming together. He's brilliant. You know, and same, you know, what they say about Joe Paterno, he knows everything that's going on with these players. So does Urban Meyer. And to say he didn't know and then lie about it nine times and turn around and he did know and really throw his boss under the bus, Gene Smith, the athletic director, you know, puts him in a very, very interesting position, because if he goes, it seems like his boss, the AD, has to go too.
Dennis Dodd with us. Dennis, I really appreciate your time. Before you go, Oregon looks like a fun little team. Offensively, they got Justin Herbert. Yeah. They'll be fun to watch. What's their upside? How good can they be, or how much fun can it be?
Yeah, I think I like them a lot this year. I've spent a lot of time with Mario in the off season, and I think they're 8-4 good, maybe 9-3. You know, Stanford's going to be really good. I think Washington's going to pull away in the division again. They're a perennial top 10 team. Oregon isn't. You know, and we'll see what the three coaches in 3 years does. But this seemed to be a pretty, sensible transition, that Mario was the guy. And he has told me, in fact, I talked to him last week, how in love he is with Eugene and Oregon and everything else. So he loves where he's at. He's obviously recruiting at a high level, so I think he's going to do well. Maybe 9 wins would be best this year, and hope for the best in the division.
Dennis Dodd, thank you, man. I appreciate you.
All right, John, thank you.
There he is, CBS national college football writer. I want your take on how much fun Oregon can be. How much fun can Oregon State be? If you're a Beaver fan, single game tickets are on sale. I tweeted out a link today. How much fun can this team be? Can you buy tickets to games on a case-by-case basis? Can you go to the stadium? I'll tell you one area in which Oregon State is not hurting with tickets. It's student tickets. The students in Corvallis will show up to games. That is a new trend that's happened in the last 3 or 4 years. The students have flat just shown up. And Oregon State is really focused on making that environment good for them and growing them into season ticket holders when they go off and they graduate college and they have jobs. I think it's really important, if you're an Oregon State fan, to ask yourself, hey, why am I going to games? Am I going to tailgate? Am I going to see the future? Am I going hoping that they're going to be a little bit competitive? Am I going just to see, like, all right, what does Jonathan Smith do in year one? Because you might only get a 3-9 season or a 2-10 season out of it at the end. And I suspect that's not going to be enough for you. Conversely, at Oregon, I think you've got Justin Herbert and the Ducks. I don't think they're any threat to win the North Division. I don't think they're going to win it. I think they'll be probably about the third best team in the North. And that's if everything goes right. But I think they're going to be fun. And I think they're going to be very disruptive to teams like Washington and Stanford, especially, that are just trying to cruise along and matter in the best way possible nationally. This is where that 9-game Pac-12 conference round robin schedule, it's not truly a round robin. You play 5 divisional games and then they do 4 crossover games. But that's where that schedule of 9 conference games versus 8 played in the ACC and the SEC really hurts you, because you've got Oregon, who's going to rumble around in there with Justin Herbert, who is a threat to beat somebody on a given day. And if you don't think that playing 9 games versus 8 matters, ask yourself where USC would have been when it came to the playoff discussion last year had they not had to play that crossover game against Washington State in Pullman in the early part of the season, September the 29th, if I recall correctly. That game cost USC dearly. Now, they lost to Notre Dame as well, but that game cost them because it derailed all the momentum, beating Texas, coming out of the early part of the season, all of that. I want your take on this at 503-417-7575. If you're buying tickets, if you already have tickets, if you're looking at the schedule, where's the fun for you this season as a college football fan in this state? I'll give you my two takes, Oregon State and Oregon, next. College football season in front of you. Where's the sweet spot for you? You're an Oregon State fan. Tell me what you're looking forward to when it comes to that in-game experience. Are you buying season tickets? Are you looking at one game in particular? If you're a Duck fan, where are you looking? Where are your eyeballs? 503-417-7575 is the number. Let's go to David, who's in Lake Oswego, who's going to lead us off. David, go ahead.
Kind of equal loyalty. I've been going to Duck and Beavers for 30 years, one game a year. The Beavers have a preference because it's quicker, easier parking. I'm looking for a game this year that's going to be kind of a perfect match to take my son or some other friend or relative, because the Ducks are not going to be super competitive, and it looks like if they really do well, well, then I'll switch my preference for that single game ticket to the Ducks. But you caught my attention when you said they're going on sale, so I'm going to have to make a decision and make a choice here where I'm going to go.
Yeah, the Oregon State game at home against Cal on October the 20th is interesting to me, because I think it's one of the few cases in the Pac-12 schedule where I look and I go, okay, there's an opportunity there. I think October is where the opportunity is for Oregon State, period. In when you talk about having Washington State at home on the 6th of October, Cal at home on the 20th of October, at Colorado on the 27th of October. They should have beat Colorado last year. I think there's a Pac-12 opportunity there for Oregon State. I also think that Oregon State's going to be a little more competitive than people think. I think everyone's expecting they're just going to get, you know, boat raced. They did not get boat raced down the stretch under Corey Hall last year, if you remember those games. Yeah, Gary Anderson probably quit after the worst stretch of the season. He had Washington State, he had USC, he had Washington. He said, I had enough. Yeah, I had two. I watched all three of those. So if you're an Oregon State fan, I mean, there's some great opportunities. I think first and foremost, you got to tune in on September 1st at Ohio State, and you have to look and go, all right, are they going to roll over there, or can they play within 38? That's the spread now, 38. Can they play Ohio State, and who's coaching Ohio State, by the way, within 38? Interesting there. Then they get Southern Utah at home. I think that's a must win. They go to Nevada. Nevada's been bad. They're 3-9 last season. They have a real chance to win at Nevada. I feel like they're going to be 2-1 after 3 weeks, and we're all going to be talking about, hey, you know, how many Pac-12 games can they win? Like, we're going to get a little delusional. But I got them winning three, and I think they're going to be more competitive in games like the game against Cal, the game at home against Washington State. You know, I think they got some chances. And I think if you're an Oregon State fan, that's what you're looking for. Kurt's in Eugene, listening on Fox Sports Eugene. Kurt, go ahead.
Hey, bud. So I'm really dejected by the as far as watching my Ducks. I'm not looking forward to preseason at all. I think it's a waste of time and money, and it's pretty much going to be, you know, like playing the California School of the Blind for three games. But I think the most excited I am as far as the upcoming season is concerned is to listen to the reaction that the Ducks give to Chip when he comes out with UCLA. It's just going to be interesting. So, of course, the Huskies and the Bruins are probably at the top of my list for games that I'm most excited about. But I think with starting your preseason against pretty much nobody's is not really going to get you ready for Stanford, who's right after that. So,
by the way, do you know the mascot of the California School for the Blind? I just looked it up. Do you know who the mascot is?
Is it Banana Slugs?
No, that's UC Santa Cruz. The California School for the Blind, the mascot, do you know it, Alabama Adriana? Take a stab.
A mole?
Good. That's a good educated guess. How about you, Bobby Bean?
I don't even have a guess.
They're the cheetahs. How did they become the cheetahs? They're fast.
They should switch to the moles.
They should change to the moles. We'll call them up and do that. I'm looking forward to the Chip Kelly UCLA game on November the 3rd as well. I think that's the game for Oregon.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.